Again, I want to say good evening to everyone. Again, it is a pleasure to stand before you all again and to speak some things from God's Word. It is God's Word that has all the power. I don't have any power. But the Apostle Paul said that the gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is my goal tonight to let the power of God speak to every last one of us. And then we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to accept what the Word of God says. If you would, turn your Bibles with me over to 3 John. Actually, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. 3 John, verses 1 through 4. And we will take our lesson from this reading. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Tonight we want to speak from a subject, walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. John addresses this epistle to a man by the name of Gaius, whom he loved in truth for the gospel's sake. He rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that was in Gaius, just as you walk in truth. Walking in truth is to walk according to the Word of God, the truth that is contained in the Scriptures. Now, Jesus says in John 17 and 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is truth. It is the only absolute truth that we have in this world. John says that he takes great joy in the fact, or rejoices in the fact, when he hears of one of his children walking in truth, walking by the word of God. Notice what Isaiah says in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3. He says, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God, which is the truth, from Jerusalem. Christ is going to teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Walking carries with it the idea of one's conduct, one's lifestyle. When we walk in truth, we are walking in a lifestyle that is in agreement with that in which God would want us to walk, or to conduct our lives, or to carry ourselves. Therefore, I submit to you that walking in the truth requires us to, number one, know God's word. Have his truth in us. Isaiah said he will teach us his ways, or his truth. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, Jesus says that they all shall be taught by God. God's word, his truth, has to be taught to us and to everyone. And he goes on to say that everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. One cannot come to Jesus unless they first have been taught by God the word of truth. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, we find that Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos the way of the God, a way of God more accurately. Apollos knew some things about God. He knew some things about the baptism of John, but he did not know the word of God more accurately until he was approached by Aquila and Priscilla, and they taught him the way more accurately. The way, again, refers to the truth of God's word, the way in which one should go. Isaiah again said, he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Jesus is going to teach us his ways. And as a result of us being taught by Jesus, we will walk in his path. John took great joy in the fact when he heard that one of his children walks in the truth, or by the word of God. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, Paul tells Timothy that God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. We have to know God's word in order to walk in it. Secondly, we are to continue to grow in the truth of God's word. Christianity is a growth process. I remember a preacher down in Grand Prairie, Texas, used to say that we never graduate from the word of God. We never graduate. It is a continuous growth process. In Colossians 1, verses 3 through 10, Paul said he'd heard of the faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for the saints because of the hope which is laid up in heaven, of which you have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. For this reason, we also, since that day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. We have to increase. We have to grow in the knowledge of God in order to walk in the truth. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. As Christians, we should be hungry for the word of God. We should be like babes, desiring that bottle, that milk. We should have the same appetite for the word of God. Why? Because the word of God gives us the strength to grow spiritually, as a baby receives his strength from the milk. We receive our strength from the milk of God's word, that we may grow thereby. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter tells us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we are to continue to grow in the truth and in the word of God. If we ever get to the point where we feel like we know it all, We don't need to know any more of God's word, then we're doomed to be lost. We have to continue to grow in the word of God. Jesus continues to teach us his word, that we should walk in his paths, that we should walk according to the truth. John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. It is the truth that makes us free, the truth of God's word. The truth has to be in us. It has to be a part of us in order for us to walk in the truth. The truth that Gaius had was in him. And you notice, again, what John said in verse 3 there, in John 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. This truth was in Gaius. He had the truth of Christ, the truth of God in him. And we, in order to walk in the truth, it has to be in us. It has to make us. It has to give us the walk in which God requires of us. The way, the lifestyle in which we are to live. John rejoiced greatly when he heard of the truth that was in Gaius. He took great joy in that. Thirdly, after we've learned the truth, then we have to walk in it. Again, we have to walk in it. We have to allow the truth then to direct our path as we walk. David said in Psalms 82 and verse 11, "Teach me, O Lord, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." We have to know God's word in order to walk in it. And after we learn God's word, again, then we have to walk in it. And it would be sad to spend all of one's time learning God's word and then not walking in it, not living as prescribed in God's word, living a worldly life, doing those things that are not pleasing to God. After we've learned God's word, and it is required of us to walk in it, to walk in it, to be as Gaius was. We have to follow Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. We have to walk in his path, in his footsteps. You know, Jesus told Thomas over in John 14 and verse 6. He said, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the way. He is our guide as we walk in this present world. We have to walk according to the truth. His word, the truth in which Gaius walked in. Walking in the truth requires us to give up the ways of the world. We have to give it up. We have to leave our worldly lifestyle. And we have to then walk in the truth of God's word. You know, it's sad when you see those who profess to be Christians and you cannot tell their walk or even their demeanor from that of people in the world. You know, I used to worship with a brother down in Grand Prairie. He said that there was another brother, supposed brother, on the job with him. And he never knew that this brother professed to be a Christian because of his lifestyle, the way he walked. He walked as those who were of the world. His language was worldly language, filthy language. Things that the Apostle Paul said that one must put to death. He didn't put it to death. No, he allowed it to live within him. But we have to put our old lifestyle to death. And we have to walk as we have been taught by Jesus. We have to walk in that way. Give up the old walk. Again, as Paul told the Ephesians, turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading here at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, I'm reading from the New King James. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The Gentiles here represent those who are of the world. They were not God's people. Paul is telling the Christians here at Ephesus, you're not supposed to walk anymore like the Gentiles, like your fellow countrymen, if I want to put it that way. You're no longer to walk as they walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, the Gentiles, the Gentile world, they were blind in their heart. They were unrighteous people. They were ungodly people. And Paul is telling the Christians here, you're Christians now. You can't walk that way anymore. You know, a lot of times Christians get mad when you tell them that they can't live the old lifestyle that they used to live. Matter of fact, some of them become discouraged sometime. And they leave the church because they want to go back to that worldly lifestyle. You see. The Apostle Paul said, so well, you didn't learn Christ in that way. You didn't learn Christ that way. So he's telling the saints here at Ephesus not to walk like the rest. Don't conduct your life like the Gentiles, like the world does. Verse 19, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. See, we got to give those things up. See, we have come out of the world. So we have to give up those worldly things that were in our life prior to us becoming Christians. In past times, we gave ourselves over to these types of things, but now we got to give them up. We got to give them up. It's not going to be easy. And when your body gets used to something, then it's hard to give it up. It's not going to be easy. A lot of times when I talk to people about becoming a Christian, I let them know it's not going to be easy. You know, I liken it to one, you know, coming off of drugs. You're going to have withdrawal pains and symptoms. Because on Friday night, you're going to want to go where you used to go on Friday nights. But you got to fight these things off. Paul said you once walked in these things. You once lived in them. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. There it is. You hadn't learned Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus teaches us to give up this old lifestyle in which we used to live. That you put off, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the way you used to act, the way you used to live, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Again, you got to give it up. You got to give up the old man, and you got to put on the new man. And Paul said it, that if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. You're a new person. People should look at you and say, well, that's not the same person that I knew when we used to go out on Friday nights. He doesn't do that anymore. He's a different person. Some might say, this man, he has gotten religion. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he's serving God. He's walking a new way. He's walking after Jesus. Let's look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's that new creation again. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind. See, our mind, if our mind has been renewed, then the rest of our bodies has been renewed. Somewhere the Apostle Paul said, we are not to present our members as servants of sin anymore, but of righteousness. He's talking about the members of our bodies. You know, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our legs. We just can't let our feet take us where we used to go on Friday nights. You see? Because we got a renewed mind that's going to say, no, you can't go there anymore. You didn't learn Christ in that way. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. A new person. Walking now in truth. Giving up the old man. The old person that I used to be. Let me hurry up here because I promised my wife I wasn't going to preach long tonight. So I got to keep my promise. Do we live or do we like? Let me see what I'm trying to say here. Like I said, are we like John? I don't know what I got to do. Are we like John, who rejoiced greatly when he heard of one of his children walking in truth? Does it give us joy to hear of one of our children and hear one of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Does it give us great joy? Or one of our family members to hear that they are now walking in truth? We should have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth, as John said there. Are we walking in truth so that others can have great joy as they observe our walk in truth? Are we walking in a manner where others can have great joy in us? This lesson came from some words I heard a preacher say a few months ago. He said his mother on her tombstone had this epitaph: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And it's preaching, and every time he and his family, when they go to visit mother's grave, mother's going to be reminding them that she has no greater joy than to hear that her children walk in truth. Back in 3 John, now I want to visit verse 4. Before we close this lesson, I got to hurry up though, because I put my word out there. John, 3 John 4, verse 4. There's no fourth chapter in 3 John, but verse 4. Actually, I want verse 5. Paul says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. Paul had great joy. John did great joy. In Gaius, and how he walked in love, how he walked in truth. But then John said, this is we got evidence in this. See, when one's walking in the truth, there should be some evidence. Am I right? That they're walking in truth. If you're going to have great joy in them, you've got to say, well, you know, I see that person now. He's walking in truth. There's proof that he's walking in truth. Paul, John, where does your proof come from about Gaius walking in truth? Well, the brethren and the strangers said, talks about him and his great love that he has for his brothers and sisters in Christ and for strangers, and for those in the church. Gaius walked in love again because it was evidenced by his love for the brethren and for strangers. He said, wow. So what are you saying there? I'm saying that in order for you to show your love, in order for me to show that I'm walking in truth, is that it has got to be evidenced through my love for others. Do we have it now? This is what Gaius did. And this did not come from Gaius, but it came from those who had received the love from Gaius. turn over to Second John. Second John. I want to look at verse 4. Here again, John says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in the truth as we receive commandments from the Father. Again, John is rejoicing that some of the children are walking in truth. He's rejoicing in this. Verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning. Come on, John. You're going to give them something? No, I'm going to give them what we had from the beginning. John, what did we have from the beginning? That we love one another. Gaius? I guess I got to get back over here so I can be by the mic. And I'm used to walking around. Okay. They should have given me the little mic on it. But anyway, but John, his walking in truth was evidenced by his love for one another. And John said, this is a commandment that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This love, verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, according to his truth. What is love? Love is that we walk according to God's truth, or that we walk in the truth. This is the commandment, this is the truth, that as you have heard from the beginning, you shall walk in it. We have to walk in the truth of God. And it is evidenced by our love for one another. In other words, we have to walk in love. Walking in truth requires us to walk in love. We need to walk, Paul says over in Ephesians 5, verse 14 through 17. Paul says here, we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but redeeming the time because the days are evil. We should be careful how we walk. Because there are people out there that are observing us. Those strangers and those brethren, they had observed John. How that John walked in truth by the love that he had for one another. And John says, we're commanded to love one another as we walk in it, to walk in it, to walk in truth. If we have one here tonight who's not a Christian, one who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a perfect opportunity tonight to do it. To leave out of here a Christian. And I can tell you, every one of us then will take great joy. Won't anybody be mad? If they are, they're not walking in love. If anybody gets mad because you obey the gospel tonight, then they're not walking in love. They're not like Gaius. But if you obey Christ tonight, we're all are going to rejoice. There is much joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Over 99 just Christians that do not need to repent or to be baptized. You've heard God's word, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. Then one can be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And then after we are baptized in the water grave of baptism, then we have to walk in truth. We have got to live a godly life while we're here upon this earth. If you are a Christian and maybe for some reason your love or your walk has not been in truth, then you need to repent of that. You need to repent. And let the church know that you repent and that the church might pray with you and for you. So if we have anyone here tonight that needs the Lord in any way, we're going to ask you to please stand as together we stand.